Thank you so much for this privilege. Will you turn in the Bible to 1 Corinthians at chapter 1? 1 Corinthians at chapter 1. If I can tonight, as the Holy Spirit will help me, give me something to think with, my heart to feel with, I want to talk on the meaning of the cross. The meaning of the cross. The passage of Scripture that we have before us tonight tells us how that religious people in the generation when Christ was here on the earth were scandalized by the message, the content, the truth, the meaning of the cross. Now the intellectuals, represented by the Greeks, the people who thought they knew something, things that people that wouldn't believe anything except they could understand. They had to reason everything out. The word of the cross, the message of the cross of Christ, the content of the cross of Christ, was to them foolishness. But unto some people, it was the power of God and the wisdom of God. No greater tragedy could be experienced by any human being than to live its lifespan down here on the earth and not face the cross of Christ until its wondrous meaning, that which God meant it to be, could be true of you. You miss out here, you missed out on everything. God has no other remedy. This is it. We do not need a Bible to tell us that there's a man named Jesus lived in the little country of Nazareth and that he died on a tree outside the city of Jerusalem. Any history book can tell you that. But we do need a Bible to tell us who he was, who he is, and why he hung on that cross. And so, these 36 years, I've been hiking up and down the country. Determine one thing, to be as narrow as the Bible. I never shall forget the old white-haired preacher that preached the sermon when I was ordained. A lot of what he said, I didn't have the least idea what he talked about. He said, call me by my given name. He said, there'll be nights when you'll walk the floor and you'll cry and you'll pray and you'll look up. Everything will be as brass when you want to die and have an idea what he's talking about. Which, if I'd known what I was getting into, I wouldn't have had courage to do it. None of us would. That's right. The Lord's good to us. But one thing he said stuck in my craw. Always be as narrow as the Bible. If the Bible says hell, you say hell. If the Bible says the cross, that bloody offering, you stick with it. Just be as narrow as the Bible. That's the only thing going to endure, for that's always in the heart of God, the cross of Christ. Every plan of men will go by the board. The people who face the cross experience the power of him who hung there. Bless God. Satan can never destroy that. With the subject, the meaning of the cross before us, let's read beginning with verse 17. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not to preach it with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the word of the cross, the message of the cross, the content of the cross is to them to perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And yes, some language that you listen to it one more time, you'd be persuaded maybe to prick up your ears. This message of the cross and to experience the power of the cross, you might miss out on it. For up to now, God doing the very best that He has chosen to do has never been able to stay God and save in its able remnant. You never had the message. You looked that in the face and saw to contemplate decades go into centuries and centuries into millenniums and millenniums on into the changing tides, and billions of people have lived in God's world. And if this Bible shows the masses in every generation have missed out on the meaning of Christ hanging on the cross, I look you in the face tonight and say for myself and for you, I covet that you'll come to experience the power of and the meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. To some it's foolishness, to some it's power. Now listen to this strange language, for it is written, that said it. In the Old Testament it is written, that's God's word. God says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing, the understanding of the fool. God says, I'll do that. Then he asks, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that in the wisdom of God, God planned this now. This is solemn. This awful call of death. And everybody seemed like they're asleep. Satan got the world cocained and drugged. You better get that wax out of your head. As we tried to preach last night, save yourself from this untoward, godless generation. For after that, the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. All of my reading, I never found anything more startling, more challenging than this statement we're going to read now. You'll never get to God just using this. You'll read now 2 and 2 is 4 and go to hell. It pleased God. It's according to the purpose of God. God fixed it that way, all hell can't change. Anybody on God's earth claims to be a preacher or a Christian, don't get excited about this and let the devil lead him to using any other message. Not really the kingdom of God. It pleased God. God loves sinners more than we do. God's wiser than we are. God's more tender-hearted than we are. All this generation of people advising God and attacking his character, and they don't like what his Bible has to say. And all us put together don't love lost sinners as much as the God who gave his Son. But it pleased that God. Brother, we better be pleased by it. If I myself and just one more in all this world discard the cross and think that we can get the job done with preaching anything else, we better not. For this pleased God. This was according to the purpose of God. Oh, hell can't shake God in that purpose. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Never will be. Never has been any other way. God put all his eggs in one basket. This is it, my beloved. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Somebody says, that don't mean foolish preaching. But now if I don't lose you, it is foolishness. If you just use this thing, there isn't a human being here tonight, if you'd be honest, you wouldn't have to admit that the idea that a little baby that is born in a cow stable in a little insignificant country, way off from everywhere else, and lived in Nazareth, and nothing ever good ever came out of Nazareth, and nobody that was anybody ever became his follower. Only fallen women and tax collectors, thieves and fishermen, poor folks like that, became his disciples. The religious people looked him over and turned him down. He wound up dying the death of a criminal, the most horrible death that the Roman Empire could think about. They put him in another man's grave. They wrapped his body in somebody else's clothing. They perfumed his body with gifts of spice from somebody else. That ain't foolish to say that God Almighty, that God Almighty, that God Almighty, in all of his wisdom, in all of his eternal purpose, God Almighty has put all of his eggs in that little basket. And he not only invites and asks, but he commands that men and women believe that that was his only begotten Son and that he was acting in heaven. And he commands every man and woman to lay themselves at his feet in absolute day-by-day utter devotion and surrender. That's the most foolish thing I've heard of in my life. Horror. It's the truth of God. And I'm going to look you in the face now and tell you, you live in a generation where everybody believes the Bible. Makes us wonder if anybody does. And you're living in a generation now where everybody's a Christian. It's a good question whether anybody is. We take for granted and never just swallow it down, and we never know when we'll swallow it and never know when we'll lose it. Why, my soul, listen, no human being in his right mind, listen to Brother Barnes, no human being in his right mind could possibly believe that this one I have described is the eternal God of glory, except the Spirit of God gives you a birth from heaven. That's the God's truth. You see, that which God intended should be absolutely impossible for anybody to believe apart from the Holy Ghost. We've reasoned it out now where everybody says they believe it. But if you believe this, it'll change. It'll change. But you can't believe this apart from a miracle. Brother Barnard, that's terrible. You mean I can't get saved apart from God working a miracle in my life? You dead sure can't. That's exactly what it means to be born from above, to receive life from Almighty God. Oh, how solemn it is. It pleased God. This is God's ways. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why did God choose that way, he says? For the Jews, that religious people, require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And God will not cater to either. He'll not give the sign, nor he'll not respond cater to wisdom. Oh, I want you to keep your finger on that and turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And I just want to read a passage of scripture here. But if I could understand it, I'd be 10 million times smarter than I am. I don't pretend to understand it. I just bow to it. And I'm going to ask you to take the time as we look at it here in connection with what we've been reading. What you talking about, Brother Barnes? I don't want you people to miss Christ. When I go and have big crowds, I rejoice. When I haven't had crowds, as we haven't had here, it just makes me say, oh God, please don't let any of the people who stayed for the stuff, don't let them go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell, but I tell you, I'd hate for somebody that's sincere, trying to stay with Christ Church, I'd hate you to go to hell. I don't want anything you've got but a covetous of Christ. But I'm telling you, everybody believes now, but the scriptures say, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That isn't the way to get born of God. Happens just like that. But you have to both be born of God in order to be able to believe that that little baby over there is the Son of God. Why, you've got more sense than that, haven't you? Couldn't be the Son of God. That's what the Jews stumble at. They say, he couldn't be! And the intellectuals, the college professors said, he couldn't be! Why, that's silly! And it's silly! And it's a scandal! Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, when will we ever quit using it as a doctrine and go to believe it? That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. It has to be interpreted to him by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to the very people stood and watched the crucifixion. But the Holy Spirit had to interpret what actually happened there. And you dare preach your brethren, you can preach till you're blue in the face. But God help us, preachers, we're as helpless as we can be. We cannot get truth into the hearts of men. The Holy Ghost has to do that. I want to read you this past scripture in connection with what we're talking about. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, Jesus Christ turns in chapter verse 20 and pronounces judgment on the Jewish nation who through their leaders have looked him over and rejected him. And in a moment he's going to give the first invitation in the scripture to individuals. And he talks about judgment. For instance, Capernaum is going to be brought down, Tyre and Sidon, and Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, the cities of his day, are going to come to judgment. In verse 24 he says, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now here is a very strange language. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. Isn't this strange prayer? Don't you laugh at this. Don't you get mad about this. This is too deep for me. It makes me tremble, the familiarity people have today. This group of church people, they're familiar with Jesus. Familiarity with Christ proves one thing. You don't know him. You don't know him. He says, I thank thee. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, what you're thanking the Father about, Lord, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Brother Dave and sweet Audrey, this one night come over from Salisbury. You got sense enough to look into this? Holy, I can't. You know why the Jewish nation, you know why they rejected the Lord Jesus? They're responsible for it. But back of it was the action of Almighty God. He says so. Good. Jesus told the Father, he thanked him that he hid these things from that bunch of puffed up people. He hid it so they blind their backs and crucified the Lord of glory in their willful ignorance. You living in a generation of people as blind as they were. Be careful you don't crucify them too. Oh, how solemn scripture like this is. I thank thee. He got on his knees. My Lord Jesus Christ did. And he just pronounced judgment on that nation. And now he's thanking the Father that God took the things of God from them. Then read the rest of the verse. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Yeah, that's the reason the prostitutes and tax collectors and the drunkards and all that crowd press in, leave the religious folks to go on to hell. You better watch out, my friend. This is still the day when men trying to get to heaven by way of religion and by what they know in the head, it pleased God to bypass both of them and to hide the things of the Spirit from people who are going to reason things out and reveal the things of God the little bitty babies. That's reading the Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye become converted and become as a little child. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. The characteristic of a little child, it believes what it's told. And long as you're trying to reason it out and work it all out yourself, you're just stepping on the road to hell. God hides the things of the Spirit from that crowd. And he reveals them to little bitty babies. I hope you'll get to be a little bitty baby. Just believing what God says. Just looking up into his face through the word and receiving what you got from him. And then the next verse makes it a little deeper. But it's what the Lord prayed. He said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, I wouldn't want you to go away and misunderstand what I'm going to say now. That almost sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. He had to join poor Brother Barnum and say, Lord, I don't understand this either, Father. But it's all right. Even so, for it seemed good in thy sight. You mean tell me all the religious people to which tune the cross of Christ is scandalous, if they think it's vulgar and they don't like you to talk about it? Yes. It pleased God to hide the things of God from them. You mean tell me the people who think they're awful smart, this is smart aleck generation, you know just enough to make fools of ourselves. You mean tell me that it pleases God to hide the things of the Spirit from them? I don't hide it from them, God does. It pleases God to reveal the things of God to David. And Jesus said, that's all right, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Even so, for so seemeth it good in thy sight. You can pretty soon find out who's saved in the church if you're God and watching. Let something happen that you don't like or you can't understand. You'll go to lay in with God. Jesus said, I don't quite understand it in the humanity. He limited himself, I reckon. But he said it
You did, Paul, and the good and your side. But the good and your side, praise the Lord.
One thing the scripture said about old Job, he did not rail at God.
He just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord give us and the Lord take it away. Help us if we could do that.
The Jews require a sign.
Ain't going to get it. God will just close up.
The Greeks, he got the wisdom.
Ain't going to make it to God that way. The Lord will just bypass him.
What do we do?
Preach Christ crucified. Of course, we know it's going to make religious people mad. It's a scandal to them. People trusting in themselves that they're righteous. And unto the Jews, it's going to be a bunch of foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. At the cross, if I look at it like a little baby, I'll try to reason it out. Not clutching my fist and pulling up the face of God now. Not being so blasphemous as so many people are now offering God so much advice. But just as a little baby, I try to look at it. I see Satan in action. He's behind that mob. I see men in action. Our kinfolks with wicked hands took him and nailed him to a tree. But I see God in action. If I couldn't explain the meaning of it, I'd love to preach long enough to get to where I could at least quote it, until the very quoting of it would break my old heart and the heart of everybody that hears me preach. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, it pleased God to bruise him. I wish we weren't so smart as it. I wish we weren't so religious, bragging about all the good things we do. Oh, I wish the wonder of that verse, it pleased God to bruise Jesus first. If your heart were as hard as steel, it would break your heart. I hope I don't go through this life a hard-boiled smart aleck. That isn't the most wonderful thing. God was pleased. It was according to his purpose. It was in his plan. He did it on purpose. Men were responsible, but back of their actions, they can't get away from God. Why did Jesus Christ hang on the cross? Because of Satan's malice. Why did he hang on the cross? Because of the wickedness of my kinfolk and me. Why did Christ hang on the cross? Because it pleased God to bruise him. Oh, you argue about the love of God and you blow in the face. There it is. It pleased God to bruise him. Wish I could be a little like a little child once again and drink deep at the meaning. Experience the power of the Christ forever on the cross in the heart of God. I try to look at it, and if you spend a lifetime, it takes you that long for the cross to mean this to you, it'd be a life well spent. I look at Christ hanging on the cross, and I see first that the world's all wrong. Always has been, my friend, since the time that every human being in old Adam doubled up our fists and tried to push God off the throne. This world's been all wrong. And when in due time God was manifest in the flesh and came, so men could handle him. That's, oh, isn't that wonderful? God was manifest in the flesh, and men handled him. One man put his hand in his side. God came down where men could get their hands on him and touch him and hear him. Oh, God help you if that don't kill you still. And you know what this world did to it? They spat on it. And they brought out a fellow named Barabbas, a rebel. And old Pilate said, I give you folks a choice. This is a big feast day. And I'm going to release a notable prisoner. Whom will ye that I release unto you? And old E.G. Parks and Rothbard and Brother Bob, release unto us Barabbas and crucified Christ. And that's still the world. Made the wrong choice then, they've been making them ever since. The world's all wrong. This world's all wrong. The spirit of it's wrong. The thing that makes it tick wrong. It's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-holiness. It's anti-everything. Don't tell me that you're saved unless in spirit you're separated from the very evil spirit of this godless age. Looked at the cross like a little baby, and you'll see that you're a lost sinner, obnoxious to the judgment of God and eternal hell. He hung there on that cross for some reason. The Bible says, he hung there for some reason that God might be just and to justify them that are ungodly. And that God Almighty made him. I couldn't understand this for a million years. Made him to be sin for us. Nor that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. Those scriptures you spend a million years drinking of them. God knows, don't ever lose the thrill of it. The wonder of what God's done. I'm lost. I believe hell is nothing more or less than a place where men and women have to pay this severe penalty of God Almighty's holy law. And I believe that without a mediator and without a substitute, that substitute be all God and all man. I believe that unless by faith, not simply that you stand up and say, I believe something about me, but I believe that unless by faith you are vitally united to him, so he and you are one in Christ lives in you. I believe you will have to endure the awful penalty of God's severe law. That'll be hell. Oh, this Bible tells us the reason Christ hung on the cross was to be a substitute for somebody. I want in on that crowd. I want in on that crowd. The meaning of the cross, the world's wrong. You better turn your back on it. You better quit claiming to be a Christian if you head over heels in love with the spirit of this age. I'm talking straight to you. Christ came to deliver us from this present evil age. And any salvation that leaves you in bondage to the onions and the leek and the garlic of Egypt is no salvation at all. Listen to me. What the cross means that men and women are lost. And the law of God must be established and fulfilled. And the best man that ever lived will have to go to hell to suffer the awful penalty of God's holy law. Unless he's vitally joined to the perfect substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. There at the cross, I learned something. It's like a little baby. I'll not try to reason it out or just believe what God says about it. That's what faith is. God said it, okay, that's so, here I go. I learned the cost of my redemption. Blessed Redeemer. I thought there as they were singing tonight, nothing was said about it. A lot of times, fool song leader will come up to me and say, Brother Barnes, you got any special songs tonight? It'll fit your message. I always turn it aside. They in the spirit, it'll come along. But tonight, that was all arranged. Precious for thee. Up Calvary's mountain. Yeah. You one of these religious people, that don't mean anything to you. No hope for you, is it? You one of these smart alecks, that foolishness to you. Ain't foolishness to people who are being saved in power. Up Calvary's mountain. The cost of my redemption. My God, my God, the answer comes back, Thou art holy! He hung there to burn out of the marketplace, men and women, so that God could be just in turning them loose from the clutches of the holy law. You can argue about the atonement and how many Christ died for and all that to you. Burn the faith! Why are you arguing at it? I'm just going to be holding alone to the cross. He died for somebody. And I say, Lord, let me in if you will. Let me in if you will. The cost of my redemption was the eternal was the separation of the Lord Jesus Christ for a while from the very presence of God. Like a little baby, if I could be so smart and so religious, they all go into hell, the wise acres, they'll bypass across and say, it's silly. The religious people say, oh, you understand, I'm all right. They go on to hell, they bypass across only little babies. Only little babies don't get this revelation, brother. And the reason I know if you're saved, something happens to you, you're saved not by your decision. Your decision is fine in its proper place. But if you're saved, it's when the Spirit of God makes Jesus real to you. And brother, what the Spirit does, He makes Christ real to you. There ain't enough devils out of hell to undo that. That's right. It is all something you did. Well, maybe you could undo what you did, but salvation ain't what you do. God bless your heart. It's Christ being made real inside by the Spirit of God. And I see that cross like a little baby looking up the face of God. I'm trying to argue with him. I want all help I can get from above. And I find that God loves me. When I was a kid of a boy, we too nice and religious and dignified. Sing it now, we used to sing. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes! Jesus loved me. The Bible tells him so. He didn't hang on that cross to get God in the good humor. God loved. You can try to explain what you want to. While you explain it, I'm just going to be rejoicing in it. Oh, there is the cross. As a little baby, I find out. God loves me. God loves me. Like every great thing from God now, we preachers long in our hearts to live long enough to see the wonder of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God in Christ. That it would would cause us to be amazed and wonder. We take everything for granted now. I've gone up and down this country and I see professing Christians just raved and caned and fighting over some doctrine. And I look in the face and tell you that not a person here tonight knows enough about any doctrine to cuss much. We just like little children, we say, Lord, we understand in part, but who God will believe if our unbelief? I wish we cut out all this reason. That's the gospel. And I wish, like little children, we could sing once again, I can't explain it, but Jesus loves me. Wonder, 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 wonder. I got off the train in an Illinois city years ago. I had the flu. I closed the meeting on Sunday night in Statesville, North Carolina. I went home after service to Winston, 50 miles. Next day, 2 o'clock, I got on the train, I had the flu, I was going to the doctor, he pumping me full of dope and hypos and pills, and I had to go start a meeting in Illinois on Tuesday night, sick as I was, there I went. And I got there at noon on Tuesday, I was a sick boy, and the pastor met me, and he could tell I was very sick, he took me quick to the room, called the doctor, and he stuck some needles in and pumped me up, and I got up that night. Preached a little bit. I was pretty sick. I couldn't preach much. But pastor said, now, Brother Barnett, I have to apologize. I'm having some sort of dupe floppy up at the school, and my folks mostly be up there, you know, this gang of church members. They'd be anywhere except to ask the house of God if they have the slightest excuse. But he said, some of them start trickling back Wednesday night. So Tuesday night, I got a fence fluttered around a little bit. I was sick. I couldn't preach much. And as soon as the benediction pronounced, the chairman of the board of deacons, he hightailed it to the front and commenced cussing me. I skedaddled out the back and went and got in bed. Put the cover up over my head and tried to sweat some of that flu out. I didn't know what was going on. And they said later that he just, said that man's a false prophet, said he's going to tear our church up. And when the pastor got there, he said, I'll write a check for $400. You give it to that preacher and send him on back to North Carolina. I said, don't let him preach again. They didn't tell me anything about it. Never peace. Wednesday night I went back and preached again, and I was still sick. And I found out that later when it all came out that the pastor don't see the doctor and tried to talk him into coming down and saying I was absolutely unable to preach. They'd handle it that way, but the doctor wouldn't do it. And so I got up and preached that night. I preached a little better than I did Tuesday night, but I still didn't have much on the ball. And when I got through, the pastor said, we'll meet the deacons down in the basement. And I went on home. I was sick. I didn't know what was going on. And they told me later he just walked the floor and wrung his hand. He's a good man. He said, that man will tear our church up. What on God's earth we're going to do? And all the deacons said, that's right, Brother Pastor. We got to get rid of him until they came to one old white-haired deacon. And they said, what about, brother? I said, better leave him alone. He said, preaching the gospel. You never heard it. Better leave him alone. And he scared him. I still didn't know anything about it. Thursday night, the house was packed and jammed. I thought because I was such a big preacher. I still didn't know what was going on. That news had spread all over town. They came down to see who's going to get killed, you know. And I preached Thursday night. And I went home. And Friday night, couldn't see them. And Saturday night, they had a fellow sing a solo. And he didn't aim to do it. But the Holy Spirit took charge, and he sang in the Spirit, and he never did get but the first line of the song through. That congregation was melted by God. He began to sing, love, love, sent my Savior. That die on a tree. Why should he love me so? And the Holy Spirit took the wonder of the love of God, the wonder of the grace and cross of Christ, and interpreted to that congregation. The organist began to sob, and then she began to scream,
and Lord!
God, Lord. He ran to the prayer room. The second person began to scream, that is the pastor. I never preached that night. Pastor got saved. Wife Jordan's got saved. The chairman of the board of deacons got saved. 7 more of the deacons got saved. 13 Roman Catholics got saved. Never got to preach. What happened? After a week of preaching, the Holy Spirit was pleased to interpret Christ on the cross to that congregation. That's always our hope. That's always our prayer. Brother, you think you can read it out yourself. Keep listening to this stuff. That's all up to you. You will miss out on this. You better be crying into your heart for the Lord God to grant you the mind of a baby and the heart of a baby to enable you just to believe what God says tonight upon you. To cry for the Holy Spirit to take the truth that religious people say is scandalous, educated people say is foolish, make it the power and wisdom of God. Men and women. Sometimes you see it happen. They think we've seen it this week. They say, sir. I say that because I cry to God that the blessed Holy Spirit shall take the things of Christ and make it real. Amen. Will you bow your head? Our Father, this last night, not that this is the wind-up of everything, but it's the wind-up of our ministry here. We have no promise of tomorrow. We may never see each other again. We should have. I bring this congregation of people to you and pray in thy wisdom, thy love. Oh, if it pleases you, every person here, a stranger to Jesus Christ, make him real to them tonight. Do it for his blessed namesake, that once again he may look at the travail of his soul and be awful glad that he died on a cruel cross. We ask this if it pleases you in his dear blessed name for his sake. Amen.